What's up, guys? This is Mike Cashew. This is the Brute Strength Podcast. This week, I went down to Louisiana and interviewed Matt Vincent, two-time Highland Games world champion. The Highland Games is an event where you pick up and throw odd objects as far or as high as possible. So this guy is truly a master of strength and power. We go into his training methodologies inside the gym, on the field, and how he ties the two together. He tells me how he lost, I forget how much exactly it was, like 30 to 40 pounds of nearly pure fat, and how he continues to set PRs on the field. We also talk about how he just lives an overall balanced life. He's a world champion, you know, he still has great relationships in his life, and he tells us how he does that. Hope you enjoy the show. What's up, guys? This is Mike Cashew. This is the Brute Shoot. I'm here with Matt Vincent, thrower, 4 years at LSU. He was a two-time world champion Highland Games, which is world's strongest man in kilts.
Kinda, yeah. It's Scottish heavy athletics. It's been around like 1,100 years or so.
Word. We're gonna get into that in a second. He is also the owner of Hate Brand Goods. Let's get him to talk about that. And then the Drifta Lifta series and just the Tip series. So he's got a ton of shit going on. He's also a phenomenal salesman. tons of shit going on, and he's very successful at all of it. So hopefully he'll tell us a little bit about how he does all of that.
Sounds fun.
Appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, man. Stoked to have someone else come in the garage.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we're in a really interesting community in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's kind of, like Scotland or something.
Yeah, it's got a little different architecture to the neighborhood. We liked it because it's a small neighborhood and really isn't anywhere for it to expand. Mm-hmm. So we'll never end up with a bunch of traffic or any of
that.
So
yep. 30 and houses. Are you usually going east?
Yeah, no, I kind of go everywhere. So for my sales territory is basically described as not Houston.
Gotcha.
So everything. I go out to the West Coast. I go to Chicago about once a quarter, up the East Coast. The Carolinas pretty regular, but mostly the Gulf Coast as far as like Port Arthur, Beaumont, Texas.
Gotcha. So me and Drew have been talking a lot about the Kinsey scale. You know what the Kinsey scale is?
I guess maybe.
It was done, I want to say in the 70s, by a psychologist on homosexuality.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, that's what I thought we were talking about.
And so we've come up with a ton of kind of thought experiments. Oh, I actually texted you one a while back about you and your wife. I don't want to be that explicit.
The if she wanted to shit on me.
That one, yep.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so the one I've been wondering about, and I have to get off my chest, is how much would it cost you to make out with Mark Bell on camera, like on his podcast?
The problem is like it's such a funny goof. I'm probably just do it because it's funny.
No shit.
I don't fucking care.
Awesome.
Doesn't stress me out. It's not going to be the first guy I've ever kissed. Probably not the last.
Fucking so. Right.
I don't know. If I could get, like lunch out of the deal, it'd probably be cool.
That'd be nice. You think he'd be kind of a good partner?
I don't know. Generous, I don't know if he would be a good kisser. He seems like a taker. Like he'd like to be kissed.
Really?
Yeah. I think that would be the way to describe him. He's, a soft face. We both got fat faces, so it'd be kind of like kissing myself, which I don't know how much I'm into.
I hear that. So, y'all do have some similarities.
Yeah. Just really fat faces.
Both members of the War on Carbs, too.
Yeah, that's exactly nailing
fighting
it.
Fighting a good fight together.
Keep your carbs in liquid form. That's what I've always said.
So, where should we start? I was wondering on the car ride up here. So, you've lost, shit, in the last 365, how many pounds do you think you've lost?
In the last year, probably around 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in a sport, you're a world champion in a sport that requires, is it all throwing?
Yeah, it's all throwing.
It's all throwing. Yep. And so I know, the more lean muscle mass you have, the more powerful
sure.
you are, all else things equal. How do you, I know another half of that is
the more weight behind a throw.
Yeah, mass moves mass.
Exactly. So how has that affected your throws, and how do you see it going if you continue to lose fat, which translates to weight?
There's definitely a law, you know, a place where I don't want to weigh any less than I am, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. At about, I float between 265 and 270. I don't know if I actually like cared about my sodium intake or something like that. I could probably dial that in, but I don't. And so, we don't throw anything terribly heavy, you know, compared to say strongman or powerlifting or any of those things. I mean, I throw a 56-pound object, and so the key is, you know, application of force, and so I'm trying to transfer as much of that into it. And it helps the further away from, say, you know, at 100 pounds, throwing something that's 56 pounds would be really shitty.
Yeah.
200 pounds, it's a lot easier. At 250, it's easier. And at 300, it's easier. But it doesn't do any good to be 300 and fat.
Right.
Like, if you can't hit positions and be mobile enough and be flexible and be fast, there's going to be a point where you need the velocity of movement to throw further.
Right.
And so it's about finding that law of diminishing returns. So, you know, if I got leaner and got to 230, I don't think I could throw as far.
Right.
But at 290, I get slower.
Yeah. So just finding that fine balance.
Exactly.
And what's the last, like, big competition you've done since you weighed 260?
I was about this weight last year at the World Championships.
Okay.
So early in the season, when I'd kind of started dropping the weight, about this time last year when I had lost the actual weight, I struggled through the first half of the season and finally, you know, decided that, you know, to switch back to performance. And for me, what that ended up being, that I needed to go throw and practice 4 days a week instead of spend my time in here.
Got it.
And so strength has finally, now this season, I'm really excited because strength is back better than it was when I was 290.
No shit.
And I'm still the same body weight, and right. I'm more explosive.
Right.
So now I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. Do you think, so you've also been doing, I would imagine, a lot more mobility than usual?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I haven't known you too long, but
I've seen a big, important lot
of that.
I mean, you know, the way everything works with throwing is basically so, you know, all your power is going to be in your hips and legs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more that I can transfer power from here to up here, the better it's going to be. And
That's sports in general, pretty much.
You know, the more separation I can get between my hip and where the implement is, the longer I can apply force.
Okay.
So that, you know, once you're crossed up back there and things are locked in, you know, every time that I push with the foot, it transfers to the implement.
Got it.
So mobility is definitely key. So the further that can get behind me and I can still control it, the better I'll be.
Okay. How about injury prevention and pain in general? How's that been?
It's been good. I work with a chiropractor, so I'll do dry needling and stuff like that, as well as, you know, deep tissue stuff and then adjustments. Just trying to keep the thing moving. You know, about 4 or 5 years ago when I got out of strongman, I really started looking into that because I was fighting a bunch of injuries all the time. With strongman, I was always living on this curve of almost hurt and healthy.
Yeah.
And so with the Highland Games, I've decided to stay healthy more. I find that the setback of being injured and having to take the time off really affects more of my performance and what, you know, progress I can make way more than, you know, if I just stay healthy and make consistent gains.
Yeah.
And so, you know, plus you don't have that mental setback of getting hurt.
Sure.
And then having to question things.
Right.
You know, where you just keep steadily growing up the mountain. Mm-hmm. And so the mobility stuff and working with those people, man, I bet honestly at this point, I mean, I bet I spend a third of my time training, a third of my time doing recovery.
Yeah.
You know, and a third doing, you know, actual sport specific.
Right. I love it, man. Going back to your nutrition real quick, I've just loved your, like, all your Instagram posts and Facebook about just your philosophy in general with nutrition. And I've been talking to Chrissy a lot lately about the same thing. Like, her books are all about that. Just being flexible, having a realistic way about dealing with nutrition. There's no start and end date. There's just a, you know, a different lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a different lifestyle.
And go, like, kind of a, it kind of feels like a go easier on yourself while also not being a total shithead. Right.
Right. And I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it is, you know, there's a middle ground for sure. And I mean, you know, if your goals are to be a Dana Lynn Bailey and get on stage, You got a different set of standards you got to follow than I do. Yeah. I'm a performance-based athlete. I need to throw far. And at the same time, like, man, I'm going to live too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and for me, living is a different definition than possibly someone else's is.
Right.
So I'm going to enjoy good food when it counts. I'm going to have a beer. I'm going to have some whiskey. And, you mm-hmm. know, if I'm in the right situation, man, making memories and experience is really – the only thing you got, that's all you can really carry with you at the end of the day. Those are yours that nobody can take.
Right.
And so my philosophy on food is, you know, most of my meals, they're just fuel. You know, if I'm stuck in my truck or I'm stuck home all day and, you know, I'm not going to take my wife out or do something special, it's just fuel. So those meals, I'm really, you know, really diligent and clean and do the right things.
Right.
Sometimes, you know, if my wife wants to go eat dinner or I've got some friends in town that want to go have a drink, you know, someone that I don't get to see on a regular basis, right. I'm not skipping out on that either. Right.
You're not going to deprive yourself.
No, I'm not going to pack fucking Tupperware to the, you know, to the restaurant to go eat with my wife.
Right.
You know, that stuff to me equally makes me a piece of shit.
Right.
As if it does, you know, sitting around and fucking eating pizza every night mm-hmm. and cheeseburgers and not understanding why I'm fat.
Right. Yeah, and I think Daniel and Bailey is an extreme example, but for 99% of people, even like top CrossFit athletes and you know team sport athletes who don't need to be less than 5% body fat, I think that approach works really, really well.
Right.
Right? Just treating food as fuel. Yep. You don't have to be quite as diligent. And some people, that just doesn't work. They need the discipline and stuff like that. But I think it, like you're saying, it takes away from your quality of life. And
yeah, I mean, food and stuff is basically comfort for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it's in some fashion or another. And so sometimes, man, you may be able to make more steps forward by saying, today I need to blow off some steam.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means I need to go eat and do what I want to do and not have to think about it. But at the same time, like, fucking earn those meals. You know, don't sit there and tell yourself, like, oh, I deserve this or this and that. Like, right. Fuck that, man. You don't deserve shit. No one owes you anything.
Right.
Like, you want to lose weight? That's up to you. You know, that's – the diet thing is one of the things that recently I've been thinking a lot more about. And, like, I don't – you know, whether your schedule, you know, predicts a lot of things. And so, man, you don't have time to train. You don't have time to get up and do cardio. You don't have time to do all these other things. You're still going to put food in your mouth.
Right.
And so you can choose to put good food in your mouth or shit food. Mm-hmm. That choice is going to happen because you still got to put one or the other in there. You're going to eat most days anyway, mm-hmm. you know, every day. And so, I mean, diet's really one of the hard parts because, I mean, you can't give up food like you do cigarettes or drinks right. or any of that. You can't just That's say, good. Like, yeah. well, I'll never do that again. Like, fuck you, you got to eat, man.
Yep.
And so it's just make good decisions 90% of the time.
Yeah. I think a lot of it comes down to just habits, right? Just
yeah, for sure. Habits.
And a lot of us, I don't know, fuck it, probably in the world,
yeah.
are just, there's so much cheap, really tasty, awful yeah. for you food out there.
That Dude, I love Taco Bell. Really,
yeah, fuck yeah.
It's so great, but...
Do they still make the Crunchwrap Supreme?
Yeah, they yeah. just, they do that, it's and like they just started doing tostadas again, so I'm stoked.
Shit.
But like, I make a lot better decisions food-wise if I've got food in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. That's decent for me
for
to
sure.
eat. So I will, I mean, cook 4 pounds of fucking ground meat on the weekend and put it in a big Tupperware thing. And so mm-hmm. during the week, if I'm hungry, a couple yep. scoops of that, you know, mix that with some rice or whatever right. it is that my diet requires that day and go on.
Right. So you don't need to make a quick decision, which is usually right. like something.
Yeah, it'd be a bad decision.
Fast food
yeah,
or whatever that may
be. I don't plan my mm-hmm. meals. It's just like I'm busy. And so the next thing I realize is like, fuck, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And so
Absolutely.
I need to go make a decision now. Or I'm going to eat now, so I better have good food available.
Right.
That's been the biggest trick for me is having good food available.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learn what I can eat on the road and be better.
Yeah.
So that gets tricky.
Word. All right. Moving on. I don't know how much we've talked about your history, but I want to know how you got so fucking strong. I'm sure some of it was genetics, but how did you lift in high school, before high school, college, all of that stuff? Because that's, I mean, what you squat still 650 plus.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, for yeah. sure.
I mean, that's not, no one can do that on genetics alone. So
right.
what, yeah, how did you do that?
You know, the easiest answer I tell people is I've squatted consistently heavy
yes.
once a week for the last 18 years. Uh-huh. That's yep. helped a lot. Yep. Some decent genetics are good too. But, you know, my training program in high school with football and stuff like that, it wasn't anything special. I can't think back to what we did. We did some sets for some reps with some weight.
Yep.
5 days a week. Yeah. But what we did more than anything else, we fucking worked really hard. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the benefits you can have to working with fucking 15-year-old athletes. Mm-hmm. They basically have more testosterone in their system than they know what to do with, and they're basically unbreakable.
Yep.
And so, I mean, you can just throw weights and food at them, and they're going to get bigger and stronger.
Right. So wait, so you were lifting really hard. Did you have more or less sex? You were using more of your testosterone for your building or towards sex?
In high school?
Yeah.
I wasn't having a whole lot of sex in high school.
And then, in your throwing days.
In college? Yeah. In college I had a good time. Okay. I probably could have been a better thrower in college than I was, but I enjoyed college.
Gotcha.
I worked in a bunch of bars and had friends and bands and bounced in strip clubs. Mm-hmm. And I had a really good time in college. Yes. I don't regret any of it. And the only thing that would have been that would have changed is I would have thrown better. I think realistically with what I've thrown in the Highland Games now, I think I probably could have thrown a mid 60 foot in the shot put. Which what that would have got me is I would have pursued shot put for 4 years longer than I should have.
Yeah.
And not gone anywhere
right,
with it.
Right.
But at least being bad at it through college, I didn't have to
trying to get to
question that kind thing. Of thing. Right.
Got it.
Yeah, I would have been on the cusp of like, man, if I could add 3 feet, I'm fucking there.
Yep.
3 feet's fucking gigantic. But you know, it would just be that weird chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
You're just never gonna quite have. So I guess my laziness in college played that way. But we did a lot of, you know, we still lifted hard, you know.
Yeah.
We did a lot of Olympic lifts, and we did, in my, you know, opinion of programming, especially now with what I know, you know, after being in powerlifting and being in strongman and doing some other stuff and weightlifting, we did too much sport specific for athletes that aren't elite.
Okay.
You know, at some point, just get stronger and do whatever's going to be the most efficient way to get stronger. Mm-hmm. And then, like, if you want to do sport specific stuff, don't do, you know, Russian twist with a barbell.
Yes.
Go fucking throw.
Attach one of your
A shot put to a rope.
Cable.
Yeah, no, go throw, man. And then throw different weight implements or do some drills.
Yeah.
All of it should be throwing based.
My favorite is the bats, right? Baseball bats, hooking bats up to stuff, making it harder.
Just
so ridiculous.
Right. And so that's one of the funny things I see in coaching and that I laugh at. Or, you know, and that what I think ends up happening is, you know, so many sports, like, don't see what other people are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so, I mean, there's a lot to learn from bodybuilding. You want to talk about people that put on lean mass? They're fucking really good at
Absolutely.
It. And they're very strong. And diet, like for gaining muscle?
Yeah.
They got it. Follow whatever they're doing. They're mm-hmm. good at it. Powerlifting? Those guys are real strong in main lifts and explosive. I mean, look at Eric Lillibridge and those guys. It's fucking crazy.
Yep.
And then Olympic lifting? These guys are really explosive. And so, what ends up happening is you've got coaches in any of those individual sports, and what happens for most of those things is you have an athlete who's pretty successful, who follows it for a while, and then decides he's going to go into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to have his athletes do what worked for him, plus he's going to put his own little spin on a couple things that really worked for him specifically.
Right.
And so this happens, and then one of his athletes is successful, becomes a coach, and uses all that training philosophy and goes into this. It becomes this really weird, incestuous group of coaches that hell, but by the end of it you're you know 5 or 6 or 10 generations in of that, and like you're not back squatting because we're gonna do overhead squats instead or snatch squats. We did side snatch as one of our things, which is why and so
what is a side snatch?
It's I've basically like being like feet perpendicular to the bar and snatching off one leg,
God.
Catching it, rotating overhead to the other one, and dropping.
That's
it's fucking dumb.
You know the rep jerk?
Yeah.
It's, that 45
right.
degree.
Like, why? Just do bench press. And so,
ridiculous.
You know, one of the things I was really happy with is that I went into and worked powerlifting with some good coaches, mm-hmm. with Gary Frank. I've trained with Mark and some other people like that. And then I got to do weightlifting with Matt Bruce and some other people. And so I got to take those things and what I learned in strongman training for that and kind of mush it all together to become a better thrower.
Yep.
And so, you know, what did I need to do? I needed to have some maximal strength, and I needed to have some, you know, more explosive power. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm way better off as a thrower being able to move 315 as fast as I can, you know, at a meter a second.
Yeah.
Than I am squatting 700 pounds and grinding it out for 2 seconds. That doesn't fucking transfer into anything athletically.
Right.
So, that's really where training went and the background of training through college. You know, I was stronger overhead lifts and kind of always, shoulders have always been strong. I'm sure that's due to a lot of shot put throws over the years and discus and, you know, some background of little Olympic lifting through college and stuff like that. I think I'm stronger now than I was in college, but not much.
Yeah.
You know, not a whole hell of a lot.
Right. I forget, we were working out here, shit, I don't know, 6 months ago, a year, and I think you were saying your upper back is a weak point?
Yeah, I feel it is. Yeah,
has it gotten better at all?
Yeah, for sure. You know, doing a lot more rows and pull-ups. And for me, I think athletes miss a lot of body weight exercises. Mm-hmm. I think as an athlete, being able to manipulate your own body weight and find balance is super important.
Certainly.
Now, you know, do I think that's the best thing for me to get on stage as a bodybuilder? No.
Right.
Do I think that's the best thing for me as a heavy power lifter? No. Mm-hmm. But as an athlete? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or if you're a bodybuilder or power lifter that doesn't want to feel like shit when you're
on stage. Also, with that said, I don't think as a power lifter or bodybuilder or weightlifter, any of that's going to hinder you.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. And I mean, shit, you can do, there's so much, even if it's body weight, you throw a fucking belt on,
right?
Throw some heavy weight. The pull-up is one of the best back exercises, in the book.
I mean, that's why I stick to the main lifts I do. You know, push press, deadlift, snatch, clean, squat, and bench.
Yep.
Those are all, when done correctly, those are full body lifts. Mm-hmm. There's a little bit more focus on some different areas.
Yeah.
But push press, that's full body.
Yeah.
And I need everything to work together in a specific order for me to generate the force I need to.
Right.
No different than throwing. And so part of that for me is also training the body to say, like, I need you to work in this order now.
Right.
At 100%. And so, no, you know, having that confidence that I know I can fire, I know I can do it, I think that adds a lot of confidence.
Right. You were talking earlier about some different, like, percentages and stuff versus technique. And I told you about one specific program, but there's a lot of new online programs, and some of them are they're just going heavy all the fucking time. And it's kind of sexy. And if you get 1,000 people and then you just show 10 of them hitting maxes, everybody else thinks it's you know, the right thing to do. Yeah, where are you with all that?
I think it works really great for a lifter who's in his first year of training.
Yeah.
You can throw a ton of stuff at someone like that because their body's adapting so fast. Mm-hmm. But if you take, you know, a lifter who's got some years under his belt or is already good at a sport, especially, say, weightlifting, I think there's more efficient ways to get stronger in the muscles that affect your clean and jerk and snatch than doing clean and jerk and snatch. Mm-hmm. So the key there is to improve the technique of those lifts so that you can transfer a higher percentage of your max power into that barbell. Right. And so, I mean, you've got mobility work you need to do. You know, me doing 90% cleans doesn't make me do any better at cleans. I can't do a full clean because I have shitty mobility in my ankles. I need to fix my ankles. Mm-hmm. Whereas I could spend time working at, say, 75 to 85%. And what I mean by that percentage for me is, like, that's a weight that I can't fuck off and hit.
Mm-hmm. You got to focus.
I've got to focus, and I've got to do it right.
Okay.
But I can do it 10 or 12 times, mm-hmm. or I could hit 6 or 8 doubles. I can get the reps in.
Right.
Reps build technique. And not only do reps build technique, good reps build technique. Mm-hmm. And so with those things, I think you need the feedback from a coach to say, you're not on your heels. You're too far on your toes. You're doing this. You're doing that. Those things need to be affected and talk to you about every lift. Mm-hmm. And so that type of stuff, it's not just going to be like, well, put more weight on the bar. We'll see how it goes. Man, there's some days for that, mm-hmm. you know, when you're feeling it, but, and you should be tested, but I mean, you see guys fucking miss six or seven lifts in a training cycle or in a day.
Yeah.
Fucking, how much better are you getting missing lifts?
Right.
Why wouldn't you have just dropped weight and hit a triple?
Right. I think that's incredibly prevalent in the CrossFit community.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but there's so much, there gets so much emphasis and there's so much excitement. Like you said, it's sexy to hit maxes and hit PRs all the time. Whereas in reality, like singles, you don't fucking get stronger doing singles. Nope.
It's just a test.
Yeah. Singles are a test, man. And I'd way rather give a shit about my triple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or what I can do for 10.
Yeah.
You know, in a squat.
Right.
You know, not only that, like a max effort lift, the risk of injury goes way up and the reward of strength gain goes down.
Right.
Whereas a triple, the injury risk is pretty moderate. And if I can do a bunch of triples, I'm going to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, especially if I can improve technique.
Right.
I mean, at some point when you reach a certain point, technique's going to fail and your body's going to go to wherever the default is.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to stay below that point to keep focusing on technique.
Couldn't agree more. I think that applies to every sport that is not weightlifting.
Yeah, look, and as far as like a powerlifting goes, they need to hit maxes.
Mm-hmm.
To a point.
Yeah.
I mean, they should, you know, the majority of those guys get their work in, but like hitting maxes, that's sport specific training. Whereas your weightlifting sport specific training should be this. So at some point, those dudes need to have the real weight on their back and see the difference, because there's a big fucking difference between setting up. I mean, you've got to have a real weight that you have to focus and set up on for it to be a difference in powerlifting. You can't hang out in powerlifting and do a bunch of reps at 80% and be a great powerlifter.
Sure.
So, but
unless
the majority
you're developing,
of, yeah, and the majority of your workload should be in those ranges, whether you're going to use bands or chains or do some different stuff to build strength. Your muscles don't fucking care.
Mm-hmm.
Your muscles are going to adapt to the stimulus that you're putting on it, plus how much time you give it to recover.
Right.
That's it. That's it. That's how it works. Your muscles don't care any difference if 600 or 700 pounds were on the bar.
Uh-huh.
It's tearing them down and building them back up. So I recommend doing that the most efficient way possible with the least amount of risk of injury. Because getting injured sets you back, especially when you're under a max weight and you're talking about real fucking injury.
Sure.
Not, I tweaked my quad and I'm out for a week. I destroyed my knee and I'm out for 18 months.
Mm-hmm. And then coming back from that shit, I mean, I'm trying to think of a specific example, but I've seen a lot of baseball players especially come back and they're not nearly as confident.
No, right.
We were talking about that earlier. They just don't have kind of that cutthroat mentality, that killer instinct that they're used to. And so that's just as big as anything.
You know, there was a lot to be said. We had a conversation with Benedict Magnuson while we were at the Arnold at dinner one night, and we were talking with Jesse Burdick, and Jesse was saying, you know, I'd like to pull 900.
Mm-hmm.
And Benny said, you know, he'd asked, you know, can you get me there? And Benny said, yeah. And he says, you know, but first, you know, the question would be, can you handle lifting light every session?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse's like, oh, yeah, I don't have the ego about it. And what he later explained was, he said, now, I don't want an athlete to miss a rep during training. I don't see the purpose of that, because then that athlete knows there's a ceiling.
Right.
I would rather have that athlete constantly making a little jump
and
always hitting it and building that confidence. I mean, test that shit on the platform or on the field,
I love
man.
That. Knows that there's a ceiling.
Yeah.
So he's always going to have that limit in his head, right?
Yeah, and there's something about an athlete who can walk out on game day and knows he owns it.
Mm-hmm.
That he's indestructible. Not that, like, man, if the weight goes to this, I'm probably going to be in trouble.
Right, exactly. They're just exactly as strong, but they don't get in their own way, right?
Right. That's why you hear people hit a 60-pound PR to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck.
Love it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I want to talk about unilateral training.
All right.
When we get back. Word. So, unilateral training. So, it's a little more sport specific probably for your sport. Where does it, what's your thoughts on unilateral training? How much do you do?
Very little.
Okay.
Very little. I guess I do some because, you know, I don't throw both ways.
Right.
Like, I don't throw both directions to even things out.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely my right side is stronger than my left, or they're built to do different things. My left side is very strong as far as a block, but my right side is good at driving and pushing. So I actually have some more mobility and different strength built up in the right than I do my left. But I don't train both sides, because if you do, you don't have time to get good at one of them. And in the gym, I don't do any unilateral. So I do everything, squats, bench, deadlift, push press, and clean and snatch.
So. Okay, so you throw both ways.
I don't throw both ways.
So what are you saying
all?
You do a little bit of? Like, what is the little bit of unilateral work that you do? And if it's none, fuck, say it's none.
Yeah, it's probably none.
No shit. Yeah. That is baffling to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just big multi-joint movements.
Yeah.
Really the end of it.
And it sounds like a lot of it's more about time efficiency than anything, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it's, you know, make the most out of the time I got. I don't have the training attention to spend 2 hours training. Right. I got other things I want to do.
Right.
It's hard for me to tie myself in the training like once my wife gets home, because I'd just rather be inside and hang out with her. So it's like, if I know I got an hour, I can get it done.
Got it.
I can either get all my lifting done in an hour, or I can go throw.
Got it.
So yeah, I don't, like, there's guys I've known, they're like, well, you know, I also take some throws, that, you know, with my left hand. I'm like, fucking why? That's crazy. You'll just never be good at it.
Right. That's very interesting. I was thinking it would be more like pitching, but I mean, it's, you know, yours is, you throw, how many attempts do you have per movement? And I mean, shot put, you got 3 attempts, correct?
Yeah. So during a competition, I get 3.
Okay.
That's per it. Yeah, per event. Per so event. We do 9 events, so 27 attempts total. Mm-hmm. And I throw everything right-handed. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't ever throw left-handed. Ever.
Yeah, gotcha.
But every event is, it's full body. It's not just like I'm single-arm benching like this. I mean, so the left side to apply for this way, you know, has to stop so that everything transfers.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I guess, yeah, so at LSU with the pitchers, in season especially, almost all we did was med ball work.
Really?
Did a little bit of squatting, like nothing max effort.
Why?
Stuff like that, exactly. But we would also do, and we wouldn't do as much as him, but Eric Cressy, I want to say... Yeah, well, I know he does a lot of throwing with the opposite arm because of the decelerators, that, you know, just both rotators getting a little bit out of alignment. So,
hey, man, I'm not saying that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I haven't needed to.
Right, right. And it takes a lot of fucking time
when you could be doing stuff. So now you're doubling the amount of time I need to spend doing stuff.
Right. It's very interesting.
But, I mean, each throw is full body. I just need both sides to do different things, but they've got to work together. So.
Gotcha. And do you do any kind of, like, prehab, rehab movements other than, like, your mobility? Like, do you do, like, RDLs to prevent hamstring injury? Anything like that?
I do a lot of shoulder mobility and hip mobility, but it's definitely mobility, and I do consider that prehab rehab. Mm-hmm. Sure, like, exactly. I know when, like, my shoulders, I'll do, for warm-ups, I'll do four-way shoulder, and I've got a shoulder mobility program, HOVA, that I'll run through before I lift and do stuff like that. And, you know, another thing I've been doing lately is skin the cats.
Okay.
You know, and that's huge on the shoulders. Yep. If I'm flexible enough and strong enough to do those, I'm probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
And if I can do those pain-free, so.
No shit. How many muscle-ups can you do right now?
In a row?
Yeah.
I bet I could probably do 5. Three to five. Awesome. Yeah.
And your form really is not that bad.
It's not terrible. No. I can't do, like, these are really, really hard to do it on because they're so short.
Okay.
So, like, in a gym where you've got, you know, 8 or 10 foot, you get a lot of spring out of the rope.
Right.
But if I can do them on there, I can do them on anything. I just can't do them strict yet.
I gotcha. Yeah, I think your shoulder mobility limits you a little bit.
Sure.
On your backswing.
Yeah, sure.
For sure.
Yeah, there's only so far things are going to go back. And I can do them on there with very little kip.
Right.
But it's do I think muscle-ups make me a better thrower? Fuck no. It's a stupid human trick for me to do.
Yeah. It's fucking impressive. 265 of them. Shit, I don't know one other person that can do that.
There's a couple folks I've seen out there that can do them, but...
Yeah.
There's a guy, Ryan Bracewell, was a pro strongman. Kind of came up while I was doing strongman and competed with my brother. And he's just recently got into CrossFit, and he did one pretty recently.
Oh, no shit.
Did I think 2 or 3 in a row.
Nice.
Big strong guy. He's
He's 275.
Gotcha.
Yeah, 265, 275.
Nice. So tell us a little bit about the Highland Games. I haven't talked to you a whole lot about that. I don't know a ton about it. I know it's a lot of times over in Europe, right?
Yeah, I spend a little time over there every year, I guess, depending on competition. I've been at least once a year for the last 5 years, and whether that's Iceland or into actual Europe, I spent 10 days in Scotland last year through London, did 3 or 4 games in about 10 days, and then there's a lot of games over there. If I had the time and didn't have a real job,
right,
I would probably go do games week and stuff like that and spend a month in Scotland.
And you're doing every event at every week?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So you do nine events every time. I would probably spend a month in Scotland because I could do, like, in a month, I could probably do 20 contests.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucking broke by the time you're done. You're just beaten up.
Yeah.
But you get really good at stuff
because
you don't have time to train. So every day is competition.
Technique. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But they'll do like 5 events instead of 9 in Europe. So it's a little bit different over there than it is here. Whereas ours are, you know, every weekend and we do all 9, or it's a 2-day contest and they don't ever do that there.
Gotcha. And where are the World Games?
So the IHGF Championships, the International Highland Games Federation, has a their championship is going to be in Brescia, France this year. And then so that'll be in June. And then Labor Day weekend in September, first weekend of September, will be in Pleasanton for the World Championships.
Pleasanton.
California.
Okay, gotcha.
So, great place to throw. That place has hosted a game every year. This is like the 150th annual running of that game. It's awesome. There's a ton of history there. It's a great place to compete. That's where I filmed all of the throwing in the last season of the Drift to Lifta. It's a really great place. So, I'm excited to go and compete there for that World Championship.
Right. I'm curious, man. What goes through your head on some of the bigger meets? I mean, you've been successful at a very high level in multiple sports, and you're a successful businessman. Like, tell us a little bit about your mental approach to things.
A lot of it, man, is staying relaxed. And so for me, like, you know, being able to compete when it counts, you know, basically like that, being able to turn it on and get the job done. That for me, I kind of describe as what I think about is that it doesn't fucking matter. And so that's what helps me relax. You know, so I train really hard. I focus in training and I do my job and I do all these things. And
like, it does matter.
Yeah, right? Sure. Yeah, I train to be good at it.
Right.
And I work really hard at it. But like, I don't lose sleep over today's training.
Right.
At all. And so for competitions, like, you know, I get butterflies just like anyone else, man. And if I stop getting those, I'll stop competing because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
But getting that anxiety to where, like, you don't know if you're going to perform or fail, fuck that. Like, man, use that. That's what that, like, training at 90% is all the time. Yeah. And, like, hitting stuff consistently at a pretty high level. Like, you go to a contest and, adrenaline kicks in and all that starts.
Different level, yeah.
You do 90% there, it's a PR.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, you try to stomp the gas pedal too much, you try too hard, and you lose it. There's a little bit, you know, of zen that has to happen. And so, like I said, like, so what I think about personally is that it doesn't matter. Like, so I'll think about, you know, in the grand scheme of things and how big things are and the universe and the world and everything that's ever happened in all of history, how far I threw a fucking rock today isn't going to register.
Right.
No one's going to write about it in the history books. It just doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
So this is what I train for. This is what I love doing. Do your fucking job.
Right.
That's all you have to do. Just do what you've prepared to do. That's it. And if you can't do that, something's fucked up.
None of it's worth it, huh?
Yeah, why? Like guys that can't put it together on game day, I don't get it.
Right.
I don't hit PRs in training.
Yeah.
I don't hit PRs in the field throwing.
Yeah.
It's fucking game day, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what you're talking about is, I think, what many books are written on, which is flow state.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that's something that comes kind of naturally to you. And sometimes it's just that way.
Yeah, for sure. That being, there's nothing better than that feeling of being in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know if you can make it happen. I don't think you can force that being in the zone, but you can definitely stack the cards in your favor.
Sure.
You know, to know that muscle memory is going to take over and do, you know, say me throwing the stone, Like, I know that I'll take enough reps that my muscle memory is going to say, well, you know, my left elbow is going to stay inside of my right knee. I'm mm-hmm. going to pivot. I'm going to look down the sector line. I'm going to drive out with the right hip, turn the right foot, land, get the left foot down, push the right foot, drive the left shoulder, and block with the left hand and finish all the way through, come around and stay in the box. I know all of that's going to happen.
Right.
I don't have to think about it. It's just going to be set in motion. And all I've got to think about is harder.
Mm-hmm. One thing, harder.
You know, and so you can't think about all that shit. I mean, it takes me longer to say that than it does do it.
Yeah. There's a good YouTube video, a golfer explaining everything that happened. Have you heard that
right. one? Right. No, no, it's so the same thing. And so it's muscle memory. So, you know, that's, you know, the sport specific thing. Like, learn to do your sport, and whether that's weightlifting or anything like that, mm-hmm. like, learn to do your sport enough that, like, that 90% of your throw or that 95% of your throw or lift is going to happen automatically, mm-hmm. correctly, that you can adjust one variable. I can say, well, what happens if I kick a little harder out of the back? Mm-hmm. You know, do I get to the front in a better position? Or what happens if I turn my elbow up a little bit more? So you can mess with one thing because everything else works.
Right.
If you've got to think about everything every throw, you can't. It's just always like, maybe. Mm-hmm. I mean, sure, you might line it up, but most of the time you're not.
Right.
So that's what I think about in competition. I'm always, you know, that's what happened last year. Whenever I knew that, like, man, I'm not throwing as far as I want to, I was taking a beating in competition a little bit. And so, you know, I talked to Jesse, and what it ended up coming down to was, like, I need to throw more. Mm-hmm. Get out of the fucking gym and go throw 4 days a week.
Right.
You know, start getting that, you know, 1,000 reps.
Right.
You know, if I go take 30 reps a day for a month, you know, after 3 months, pretty good to go.
Yeah. And then it gets to a certain point where it's fucking, it's automated and then thinking.
Right. So then your strength can apply.
Results. Right.
You know, so once you hit a certain point that your technique is going to be, let's say, proficient. I don't believe there's perfect technique. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless I could build it on a computer, but what a person can do, I don't believe there's perfect. There's always better. Mm-hmm. And so I think once you reach a certain point of that proficiency, you can the strength that you build in the gym really can apply to those things because, well, I'm going to be in the right position, so now I'm just stronger in the right positions.
Right. And that's what you were talking about earlier with weightlifters, right?
Yeah. Like
developing weightlifters.
I think it's very similar to throwing. It is it's submaximal stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can always deadlift more than I can clean. I can front squat more than I can clean.
Yeah.
And I can, you know, push out of a rack more than I can jerk. Mm-hmm. Or jerk out of a rack more. So it's always going to be submaximal. It's going to be lining those things up.
Right.
And until you're as efficient and say, you know, can I, you know, clean X percent of my front squat? Well, then build your front squat. Because then it translates. Mm-hmm. But until then, get better at doing cleans.
Right.
So, I mean, don't. I've always looked at it like, you know, strength training is important, but don't be the fucking strongest guy that sucks at your sport.
Yeah. No shit.
If you're gonna be in a sport.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't go out to the field, you know, me as a thrower, and be like, wow, you know, I've got an 800-pound squat.
Yeah.
I took 7th today. Like, fucking great job, dude.
Yeah.
You're not a threat.
Technique in your sport and your mental approach is always going to.
I'd wait if you told me, hey Matt, you could win another world championship in the sport that you're competing in, but you can't squat 500 pounds this year.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Well, that's cool.
Right.
So what? I don't compete in powerlifting.
Yeah.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. I love how you said that too. You know, it's like Zen, I think you said.
Yeah, that's that flow state, man. Yeah, that's I think that's a big part that, I mean, you get that in the gym too. You get that feeling of just being in it where you can kind of back out and let things do what they're supposed to do because you've put in the time and reps. But there's a certain amount of work that gets you to that state. You don't get to come in day one and find it.
Right. I mean, yeah, motor development, it's very clear. Like it takes what it takes. It takes a long time to get to that position you're in, which is just everything's automatic.
Yeah, it's the 10,000 hours. Yep. It's any of that.
Yep.
I mean, do a couple 100,000 reps. You'd be fine.
Right.
It'll count. I mean, that's why I program every year. I do a high volume part of my program, and I do 10 weeks of German volume training. So I do 10 weeks of 10 sets of 10 on all my main lifts.
Yeah.
I'm pretty fucking bulletproof by the end of it.
Right.
I feel really good. I feel really strong. I haven't missed a lift, and I've done 1,000 squats.
Right.
So I'm ready to squat with some weight again.
Yeah.
You know, the form's good. The flexibility's back.
Yeah.
And so I focus on mobility and getting the reps and building that foundation of workload.
Mm-hmm.
Before I can start trying to build a house on it, you got to have the foundation.
I love that. 10 weeks, 10 seconds. You do
it's brutal.
Minute rest as well or no?
I try to keep it pretty minimum, but it stays usually a minute to 90 minutes. And I mean, it's not heavy.
Right.
So I'll do 10 sets of 10 at 50%.
Okay.
But it sucks.
Oh, it's awful.
And a lot of that is zone out. It is just get under the bar again. Just get under the bar again. You'll be fine.
Yeah, the first like 2 weeks at the very least are the next 96 hours.
The first, it's amazing how big the body adjusts from week one to week two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like week one, what my recommendation for my program is for people is, like, if you can hit 6 sets at RX,
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Yeah.
But like by week 3, do 7 to 10.
Sure.
And you'll be able to.
Right. And it's all 50?
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, no, so it goes up to 55 the last mm-hmm. 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
And then it take a deload week, which is just 3 sets of 10 back at 50. Just do blood flow, dump the lymphatic system.
Yeah.
Those type of things. And then come back and do another 2 weeks at 55% and then the last mm-hmm. week at 60.
Nice. Yeah, I think we would usually do it at 60, but we would never go...
Well, so 60, you know, weeks. So I also base everything off of a training max.
Yeah.
And so everything for me is this 90%.
I gotcha.
So, you know, if I can squat...
500.
Yeah, 500, I'm going to do everything. At, like 450 is going to be my max, and I'll base all the percentages off of that. Sure. So it comes out to like 41% or something like that of my actual max. And what that does for me is... I don't ever miss a rep in training.
I love it.
I don't ever get buried. And I do train in my garage. I train by myself. I don't have a spotter. And one of the things I've realized this year that I really like about training in here, you know, that it was a different thing than I really liked, other than the just convenience of training at home.
Yeah.
It was, you know, the best PR I've had all season was at super training. I squat 505 for 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have done that in here.
Yeah.
And that environment made a big fucking difference.
Yeah.
The thing that I've noticed, too, is training my garage. Like, if I notice a tweak or something like that, and I've trained long enough to know the difference between good pain, bad pain, what I should or shouldn't push.
Right.
And so if there's bad pain and I know that, like, this probably isn't a good idea, just stop.
Yeah.
I don't have a training partner or some asshole telling me, but we're going to do this. We're going to finish. Like, no, man, I'll just quit. I don't have anything to prove to anyone. No one cares.
Right.
There's no one in here to train and watch me.
Yeah.
So just do what's the smartest thing so that I can train again tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that you have the best possible mentality for your sport. And throwing in general, in my opinion, is one of the sports that I would say what you do in here translates. Like, it has the highest correlation to your success out of any real sport other than
sure. I think far more than like football.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I see so many football players and coaches and strength coaches that are like, let's really push for that 5 pound PR and then we're going to see like amazing things on the field. It's like, it doesn't work that way.
No.
Right? Be safe.
Be really good at football.
Be really fucking good at football.
Yeah. Like if you want to be really good at shooting free throws,
yep.
don't do a bunch of bench press. Mm-hmm. Go shoot free throws.
Exactly.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense to everyone you talk to.
Right.
So why wouldn't you think the exact same for if you'd like to be a really good lineman? I mean, mm-hmm. there's definitely a certain base level of strength you need just as an athlete or conditioning for whatever your sport is. So, you know, GPP.
Yeah.
But past that, be good at your sport first.
Right.
And then you can apply those other things to your sport.
Right. Be good at your sport. Get strong, but also be able to move correctly in those, right? It's not all about, I mean, yeah, it really bothers me that people, and it, you know, I don't know if you would argue with this, but a lot of people would argue with this. The whole thing about just go just below parallel. Why are you just trying to get just below parallel? Why are we not trying to, you know?
For me, I don't care at all as far as squat depth goes.
Yeah.
I've had some IT band issue and, you know, some hip pain. And basically, I spend a ton of my life sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to fix it. And one of the things I realized was that, like, so the last two seasons, I lost a lot on my squat. And that was because, like, squatting deep hurt. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I would end up with, like, tendon pain in my hip flexor or IT band pain that would keep me from squatting at a weight I should be squatting.
Right.
So I never felt like I was actually putting my legs to work as much as tendons.
Okay.
And they're not going to get any stronger.
Right.
And so I switched this year to doing a high box. And by high box, I mean parallel to above parallel, mm-hmm. which led me to being pain-free.
Gotcha.
You know, so I went from being pain-free for 10 weeks of my high-volume training to my last week at super training. After, you know, 3 days of deload and traveling, I ran stairs the day before I went and did my squat workout. Mm-hmm. Just because somebody wanted to go run stairs, I'm going to go run stairs. And so I went into a squat workout and hit an all-time PR at a lower body weight, a 505 per 10. I can grind it out. Yeah. It didn't hurt because I wasn't in pain all the time.
And that was no box right there?
Yeah, no box.
Wow.
And so, I mean, whatever's going to work for your sport. You know, a parallel squat for me, I think in the ballpark, that's where you're going to build the most strength. But for me, being pain-free, which allows me to throw and recover better. And then,
always takes
so I can always put a little bit more weight on the bar. But I also don't box squat that big rock back. Mm-hmm. I'm basically just using the box as a depth gauge.
I gotcha.
And so I'm going to have to put the brakes on before I touch and just tap and go.
Got it.
So, I mean, look, if you can pain-free squat ass to ankles, squat ass to ankles.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, but I just couldn't.
Right.
And I was still able to make progress.
Right. Yeah. Especially for you, if your hips are hurting you, then...
Right. So then I couldn't throw. I couldn't do these other things.
Which is way more important.
Right.
I get that for sure.
You know, if you're a healthy athlete that can squat all the way down, squat all the way down. Mm-hmm. Don't cut your squat short to handle more weight. It doesn't make it... Your body doesn't fucking care.
Right.
The full range of motion is always better.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, baffling.
Yeah, I'll try to get back there. That's the goal.
Right. Yeah, look, it keeps looking better and better, man. You're getting your fucking knees out.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, it's a lot of work and prodding from Kelly.
Yeah. Ugh. What do you think is the thing that's made the biggest difference on your mobility? Any body part, any implement, anything?
Consistently doing it.
Yeah? How long do you sit in a stretch, that kind of thing?
So I'll do pre-workout, like I'll get a sweat going. So I'll sit on a spin bike or get on the rower and bang out a 500 or more than that. And then I'll do, through my HIIT program, the Shakira stuff, leg swings and stretching. I'll do a bunch of dynamic stretching pre-workout to get things moving.
Okay.
I don't really do a lot of rolling pre-workout. So I, via Kelly and talking to him, I save that stuff for post.
Okay.
So once things are starting to tighten back down, I'm going to address them by sitting and mashing the kettlebell into my quads or rolling or digging into the abductors.
Yeah.
So that once they're starting to lock back down, I'm going to start mashing into them to spread them back out.
I gotcha.
Just like you're kneading bread or anything like that.
And somebody explained it on one of our first podcasts. It's like a box of spaghetti, right? You're trying to align them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're not all twisted and stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Definitely just get everything and all those fibers unfucked.
Right.
Because, I mean, while you're lifting, you're basically shredding them apart so that they grow back bigger and stronger to handle more weight to what you're doing. I mean, that's all you're doing basically anytime you work out. It's a science experiment. Mm-hmm. And so making them align better and the myofascial release stuff really makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Word, I like using big words. It seems to help.
Word. Yeah, I was about to say, should we explain it? Word.
You should know at this point.
Yeah. I know. I don't know if they know.
They should. Look it up.
Yeah.
Kelly Starrett, myofascial release.
It's everywhere.
Hook you up.
Word. All right, let's wrap this shit up, man.
Yeah, man.
Where can they find you?
TheHate.com. HVIII.
TheHate.com. It's on the t-shirt.
So that's so the hate is HVIII. So that's H with the Roman numeral 8. It's very clever. That is kind of my own thing and philosophy of motivation about some bit of a self-motivation through self-loathing.
Yeah.
You know, not listening to my own bullshit, not tolerating my own stuff. Of like, you know, I deserve to take a day off or I'm tired. You know, fuck that, man. Go do your job. Mm-hmm. Get in there and lift and just get through it.
Right.
Not every day is going to be great. Not every day is going to be flowers and sausages. Mm-hmm. You're not a fucking unique snowflake.
Sausages.
Yeah, man. You're not a unique snowflake, man.
Get in there and just fucking do the work.
Yep.
And do the work consistently, man, for a long time.
Yep.
It'll work out. And that's fucking work or life or relationships or fucking anything, man. Just don't stop doing the right things. Mm-hmm. It'll eventually work out fine.
Yep.
And people that are really successful, they work really hard.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people that have fucking shit their way through and gotten to good places, but yeah, fuck them. They're not in the bell curve.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a regular person.
Right.
So
keep going.
Yeah. Where you else? Just fucking, you know, be willing to, you know, you can make a choice of like whether, you know, I can't choose if I've got better genetics or I'm going to be taller or, you know, stronger than the next guy. You know, I'm never going to be able to compete against fucking Hap Thor. Mm-hmm. You know, in strongman or anything like that. But whether or not I choose to outwork someone, that's my choice. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, I can do that, talent or not. So don't get outworked. And that's that personal level of like, man, I'm going to make the right decisions. Like, nobody's watching. It doesn't matter. I'm doing this for me. You know, I work hard. Exactly. I work hard. I throw far. I train and do the right things consistently because I care about them. I don't give a shit if anyone else does. These are what's important to me. And once you've determined that, like, those are your things and those are your goals, fucking stand for it.
Right.
That's what it is for me.
I love it, man. I could talk for an hour just about this.
Yeah.
I think our camera's about to die. Where else can they find you on social media, website, all of that?
Instagram is Matso Explosion. And
that's two T's.
No, it's just one. Yeah.
One T.
Yeah, Matso Explosion. And then Twitter is Matso Awesome. Mm-hmm. And I guess I wasn't smart enough. There's a lot of people named Matt Vincent, apparently. Okay. So I'd have to be like, Matt Vincent, 788.
Yeah.
So I just came up with something else. And when I picked up those things, I wasn't thinking about branding and needing to have something consistent. Right. So this is what they are. Just fucking deal with
it. Nice. And then on the hate.com, is that where can they get the Shakira?
Yeah, yeah, everything. All there? My all your three books Strength Lab is what the current program I follow, or Training Lab for the Highland Games, or Throwing Lab, and Shakira and Hova, the mobility programs are there. They're $5 a piece for the mobility program. So it just basically is just make a commitment to buy it. It's fucking $5.
It's a fucking no-brainer.
Yeah, it's 5 weeks to get you better at mobility.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
It's great.
Not into it. That's cool, too.
All right, dude. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude. This has been great.